Well, it's good to be back here again tonight. I got to tell you, I really struggled this afternoon with what I was going to do tonight. As you know, that the church on campus is having their debate, and my wife and I wanted to slip out as quickly as we could to go and see our son involved in that debate. And so I was going to preach the second half of the message that I spoke on this morning from Genesis chapter 3, but I thought, no, I'm going to just share a devotional. And when Jack was reading the scripture, Tatiana looked at me. She said, Jacques, you preached on that before. And I said, I know I did. But, you know, I have some good backing in scripture. I just want to read you the verse because I'm not just going out on a limb here. Peter says this. He says, so I will remind you, always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. One of the things I've learned in my own Christian life is that, you know, sometimes old truths that we've heard many, many times again, it's very important for us to be reminded of these things. So if you have your Bible, just turn with me again to Proverbs chapter 7, that section of scripture that was read for us. I really still want to focus on temptation tonight, but I think there's some great principles that we can learn from this chapter. I just want to share for about 15 or 20 minutes. But before we do that, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us tonight as we look at His Word. Father, we thank You and praise You so much for Your goodness and Your kindness towards us, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You have saved us. We thank You that You've redeemed us by grace. We thank You that we belong to Christ. Lord, we thank You that Your Spirit is in us. We thank You that You've given us Your Word. We're not left on our own, Father. You've given us everything we need for life and for godliness, as we're going to see even in a few minutes. And Father, we just pray now that as we look at Your Word, that You would speak to us, that You would teach us great truths, Lord, that there would be something that we could take from Your Word tonight in our own personal lives that we might hang on to. And Father, say, Lord, thank You for speaking to me tonight from this text of Scripture. And so, Lord, be with us, strengthen us, teach us, and we'll give You all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The truth of the Christian life is that every single one of us faces temptation. I don't think there's anybody here tonight who would deny that. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer, if you've been a believer for 15 minutes or if you've been a believer for 50 years, you're going to face temptation in life. The Bible says in James chapter 1, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. So the scripture is very clear that we're all going to face temptation. It says when you're tempted, not if you're tempted, but when you're tempted. And that temptation comes from within. We're dragged away, right? We're not tempted by God, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. So all believers face temptation. Paul says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And so we all face temptation. And because we all face temptation, we need to have some understanding of how we can overcome temptation in the Christian life. Now, Peter says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. And so even though we face temptation, the scripture is very, very clear that as believers, we have victory in Jesus Christ. The Bible says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. None of us have any excuse as Christians to yield to temptation. We can't say that it was too hard for me to overcome because God has given us all His grace, all His power to be able to overcome temptations when we face it. Doesn't matter whether you're a young person or an older person, if you're facing temptation as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the power to be able to overcome that temptation and put it to death, no matter what it is. Now, there are some safeguards that we need to, I think, put into our lives and implement into our lives if we're going to live victoriously in Jesus Christ. And I think we see a number of these in Proverbs chapter 7. And the first thing I want to mention to you, the first principle I think we always need to remember whenever we're facing temptation is this. Consider the explicit implications and consequences of yielding to the temptation. When you're faced with temptation, and that moment is there before you when you're thinking, oh, I'd really like to do this, or I'd really like to sin in this way, you need to consider the implications or the consequences of what it would mean for you to yield to that temptation. I want you to take a look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21. Let me read down to verse 27. Proverbs 7, verse 21, it says, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her." Now listen, "like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death." So when you're faced with temptation, you've got to ask yourself this question: what will it bring? What are the ramifications of the actions that I'm about to take? And where is it going to lead me in my life? One decision you make in your life, in terms of temptation, can change the entire course of your whole future. One small decision. I mean, I've dealt with people like that my whole life as a police officer. One decision, getting behind the wheel of a car, and they were impaired, changed their whole lives. Taking the life of another person, where is it going to lead you? Think about the consequences of yielding. We've got to avoid being like the simple who lack judgment. With persuasive words, the Bible says, she led him astray. He was not thinking about the consequences of what yielding to the temptation in his life would lead him to. He listened to her persuasive words. She led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, he says, all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. He didn't understand what the consequences of his sin would be. We've got to use our mind. The path of sin always leads to injury and death. Always. I mean, Paul says it very clearly, right? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So I think the first principle we need to be aware of in our Christian lives, if we want to overcome temptation, is to consider the implications or the consequences of what it would mean if I yielded to that temptation. Now, for most of us as believers, that might just be a loss of joy. It might be a loss of peace. It might be a loss of strength in Christ. I mean, you cannot have the power of God in your life as a believer if you're not living in obedience to Christ. And a lot of times as believers, we lose the joy. We lose the joy of our salvation because we're not walking in obedience to Christ. We wonder why some people are so happy in Christ, so joyful and so peaceful in Christ. And it's because they're walking in obedience. That's why Jude says in his only chapter of the Bible, in verse 21, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." And you keep yourself there, walk in obedience, and you might experience His joy. So yielding to the temptation will rob you of that joy in Christ. It'll rob you of that peace and that strength that you have in Him, that power that you have in Him to be able to communicate His word and His will. So that's the first principle. Principle number two is this: never expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Number one, consider the consequences of yielding. Number two, don't ever expose your life to a situation where you know you are going to be tempted. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. Actually, let me start at verse 6. This is Solomon speaking. You got to picture the scene here. "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice." So there's Solomon. He's observing what's going on in front of his eyes. And what does he see in verse 7? He says, "I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in." What was this young man doing? He was putting himself in harm's way. He was putting himself in a situation where he knew that he would be tempted. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5 and listen to what Jesus says there. Matthew 5, verse 27. Matthew 5 and verse 27. Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin," what does Jesus say? He says, "Gouge it out. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." What's Jesus saying there? He's not literally speaking about cutting off your hands and plucking out your eyes. But He's saying you need to do whatever you have to do to get that thing out of your life. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Whatever it is that's causing you to sin, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is that's causing you to yield, you need to cut that thing out of your life. You need to safeguard your weaknesses and not expose your weaknesses to temptation. Now, we all have different weaknesses as believers. Some believers will struggle with one thing where another believer will not struggle with that thing. We all know what those weaknesses are. If you don't know what your weaknesses are in your life, in your Christian life, you need to identify where you're weak in the Christian life, whether it's with gossip or whether it's anxiety, whether it's with lust or slothfulness, whatever it is in your life that you know that you've got a weakness there, that you've got a propensity to sin in that area of your life. Identify it. Identify it. Say, this is my weakness in my life. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, right? It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the weight that so easily entangles and the sin that so easily entangles, right? The sin that entangles you in your life, the sin that trips you up. Identify what that sin is in your life. Once you've identified what that sin is in your life, you need to avoid it. You need to avoid any situation where you know that you might be tempted to sin that way. Safeguard yourself. Avoid those things that will cause you to be easily persuaded to yield. You need to run away. You remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Joseph, 17, 18 years old, a young man, being tempted every single day by Potiphar's wife, coming to him saying, come to bed with me, come to bed with me. And he refuses her every single day. And finally, one day, she grabs a hold of him physically. What does Joseph do? He runs. He gets out of there as fast as he can. He flees from that temptation. I want you to take a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Just turn to Proverbs chapter 4 for a second. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Listen to what the Bible says there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep until they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. What's the Bible telling us there? Avoid the path of evil. Don't set your foot on the path of the wicked. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn from it. Go on your way. Take a look at verse 25 in that same chapter. Chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Go back to chapter 1 of this book. Proverbs chapter 1. Listen to what Solomon says to his son in verse 10. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we'll share a common purse. What does he say in verse 15? He says, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. So don't put yourself in harm's way. Don't expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Run. Get away from it. Whatever that source of temptation is in your life. For some people, it's a computer. Get rid of the computer. Don't have it in your room. Whatever it is that's causing you to sin, cut it out of your life. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says this, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. I think this is a very important principle, absolutely essential if we're going to live in victory over sin. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. He says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. But he's talking there about fleeing from something. He says the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, if you go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Paul says exactly the same thing. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And sometimes for young people, the best thing you can do is say, you know what? I'm not going to hang out with those people because I know where that's going to lead me. Even sometimes as adults, we feel the pressure of our peers to maybe compromise in areas of our lives. We can't do that. And so the first principle I think that's going to give us the grace to not yield to temptation is to consider the consequences of yielding. And the second one is this: don't expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. You know what those areas of weakness are in your life? You avoid those areas. Get out of there as fast as you can. That's a great way to avoid falling into sin and piercing your soul with many griefs, maybe even piercing your life with many sorrows that you won't be able to change. How many lives have been destroyed because of decisions that believers have made or unbelievers have made in moments of temptation? Number three, when the temptation is strong, you need to focus your attention on the Word of God. When you're struggling with temptation, you need to focus your attention on the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 7, verses 1 to 5. Listen to what Solomon says there. He says, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words." What's Solomon saying there? How do you overcome temptation? Get into the Word of God. Make this your joy. Make this your food. Make this your life. Say to God's Word, "You are my sister. You are my kinsman." I mean, he says there in verse 3, he says, "Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." I mean, God's Word needs to become so important in your life. If you're not in the Scriptures every single day reading the Bible, you will not have the strength to overcome temptation in your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it, you will start to compromise in areas of your life. If you're in God's Word, you know what's happening? Your mind is being transformed, right? It's being renewed all day long. Every day we're bombarded from within, we're bombarded from without with all these evil things every single day filling our minds, filling our thoughts. And we need to have our minds cleansed, as Paul says, by the washing of God's Word. I can't tell you, listen to me, I cannot... Guys, I got to tell you, when I read the Scriptures and I'm in God's presence in the Word, I am filled with joy. I read the Word and it's like my soul is being fed inside, deeply inside. You read God's Word and He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. I mean, if you devote yourself to what the Bible says here, just allowing God's Word to fill your soul, to fill your mind, you are strengthened, you are purified, you know God's Word. David says, "I have hidden your Word in my heart." Why? I might not sin against you. If you're not in the Word, guys, you will not overcome when you're faced with temptation. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil for 40 days? What does He do? How does He defend Himself? Does He do positive thinking? No, He's not using the power of positive thinking. He's quoting Scripture. Why is He quoting Scripture? And I've said this to you 1,000 times before. Every single Scripture that Jesus quoted when He was in the wilderness was taken from the book of Deuteronomy. And there's no doubt in my mind that while Jesus was in the wilderness for those 40 days, He was reading the book of Deuteronomy. No question in my mind, He was meditating on Deuteronomy. I have no doubt. He was filling His thoughts with the Word of the Father, feeding his soul with the Word of the Father, so that when the devil came to him, Jesus Christ was prepared. He knew Scripture, and because he knew Scripture, he was able to use Scripture to defeat the enemy of his soul. And so if you're going to overcome temptation, number one, consider the consequences of yielding. Number two, don't put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Avoid it. Put your feet in fast forward and get out of there as fast as you can. Number three, when the temptation is strong, focus your attention on the Word of God. Let me just say this. You know what, guys? You need to be doing that daily. When I was a police officer and I was in the training branch for 6.5 years training police officers, I always told them, listen, the way to survive a deadly force encounter is not when you're in the middle of the deadly force encounter. You won't survive if you wait till the moment you're faced with a guy who's coming at you with a knife and then all of a sudden you're going to try to use your pistol. If you're not training, right, Vic? If you're not training every single day on how to use your gun and how to use your weapons, if you're not constantly training over and over again when you're faced with that deadly force encounter, you're done. If you're training on a regular basis and you're building up your strength and your confidence and your wisdom and your knowledge and your skills, and then you're faced with a deadly force encounter, you're not in a panic mode. I've been there 1,000 times. I've had people pull out knives on me. I know what it's like when you've got confidence in the skills that God has given you. You're able to overcome. It's the same thing when we're dealing with spiritual warfare. If you're feeding on Scripture and the devil's coming to you to tempt you, you know what the Bible says. You're able to take those texts and use them and yield yourself to Christ. But you need to do that every single day. You need to be in the Word on a regular basis. Number four, call on the Lord and acknowledge His presence and His grace is with you. Don't only be in the Word, but you need to be in prayer. You remember when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember that? He takes James and John and Peter a little bit further into the garden. And then Jesus says, "You stay here, you watch with me while I go over there and pray." And Jesus comes back. I mean, he goes into the garden. For an hour, he's praying by himself with the Father. You know what he's praying about? He comes back, and what does he find? He finds Peter, James, and John sleeping. What does he say to them? He says, "Watch and pray." Why? So that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. I remember when I was just a young man. I didn't know Tatiana at this time. Remember one time I was in Bible school, my first year of Bible school. I was at home. This one particular night, I was so tempted to do something wrong. Guys, I have never been more tempted in my life. And at that time, Keith Green was a great, great singer. How many know Keith Green? I loved Keith Green. Anyways, this one particular night when I was really deeply tempted, I remember walking into my bedroom, locking that door, and for 3 hours, Keith Green used to sing a song, "One sleepless night of anguished prayer, I triumph over sin. One battle in the holy war, God's promised me to win." I remember going into my room and for 3 hours fighting and praying and seeking God's face and saying, "Lord, I don't want to fall this way. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you." And I stayed in that room on my knees until I won the victory. And I came out of that room and I'd won that battle. And I was so excited that I had not yielded. But it meant going into that room and praying. Sometimes, guys, you need to pray through the temptation. When you're struggling with temptation, you need to get yourself away and lock yourself up in a room and say, "Lord, give me the grace not to dishonor my Savior this time." And you need to pray. And you need to pray until you break through. You need to pray until you bring yourself under the rule of Christ. You need to pray until you're saying, "Lord, yes, I will walk in obedience to you." Watch and pray, Jesus said, so that you will not fall into temptation. Number five, if you fail in your struggle with temptation, remember to immediately confess your sin and turn away from it and ask God to forgive you. Keep short sin accounts with God. When you sin against God, you acknowledge that sin. Don't try to hide it like David did. You just acknowledge your sin. The Lord understands. The Lord knows that you've sinned. Well, just acknowledge it. Don't be like Saul, blaming everybody else, like I was sharing this morning. We talked about the social effects of sin and how we so quickly blame others instead of acknowledging our own sin. When you sin against God, acknowledge that to God and say, "Yes, Lord, I've sinned against you. And Father, I'm sorry for that." I acknowledge my sin. Identify it. Tell the Lord what you did wrong. Ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you. What does the Bible say? He's faithful and just to forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get up off your knees and thank God for forgiving you. And don't walk around with this guilty feeling anymore, because God has forgiven you. If you sincerely acknowledge your sin, confess it, turn away from it, and ask the Lord to forgive you, it is clean. God doesn't remember it anymore, and neither should you. And don't let the devil come by and start pointing his finger at you and say, "You're nobody and you're so bad. Look what you did," because Christ has cleansed you. He's cleansed you from your sin. Right? And so acknowledge it. Just let the Lord know that you've done wrong. Ask Him for forgiveness. And then rejoice in that forgiveness. I think one of the ways that the devil just cripples us as the body of Christ is we just feel so bound by these sins that we've confessed and God has forgiven us. We walk around with this guilty feeling for the rest of our lives when we shouldn't be guilty at all, because Christ has cleansed us. And finally, number six, share your personal struggle with someone that you can trust. That is so important. If you're struggling, get some kind of accountability partner. In accountability partnerships, there needs to be honesty. There needs to be absolute honesty. If you're not going to be honest in an accountability session, it's not worth having an accountability partner if you're just going to be lying. I used to do that all the time with a priest before I was saved. When I went to confess my sins to the priest, I never told him the truth. Never. I lied in my confessions. I used to tell him, "Oh yeah, Father Frank, I didn't go get that loaf of bread that my mother wanted me to go get from the freezer downstairs. I would have never told them the things that was going on in my life. Sometimes accountability partners do that in their own personal relationships with each other. They skirt around the issues. They don't actually acknowledge what the sins really are in their lives. How are you going to be blessed? How are you going to be strengthened if you're not acknowledging those things? We need to be accountable to somebody. I mean, I've got a great wife that I can talk to about things in my life. She can talk to me about those things. We need that. We need to keep ourselves sharp. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another man. You need to find somebody in your life that you can talk to and say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this area of my life. I need you to keep this in confidence. I need to trust you, but can you pray for me? Can you hold me accountable for these things? Because if I don't have somebody who's going to hold me to account, I'm just afraid that I'm going to fall and sin against God. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so those are six principles, I think, that will really help us when we're faced with temptation. Number one, consider the consequences of yielding. You think about that. When you're faced with temptation next time, no matter what that temptation is, consider the consequences of yielding. Number two, don't put yourself in harm's way. Don't expose your life to a situation where you know you're going to be tempted. Number three, when the temptation is strong, focus your attention on the Word of God. Fill your mind with God's thoughts. Just let God's Word fill your thoughts. Number four, call on the Lord. Pray. Acknowledge His presence, His grace, His strength is with you. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Number five, if you fail, confess, turn, and receive God's forgiveness. And number six, share your struggles with someone who you know will be able to encourage you and keep you walking that holy path. You know, the Bible does say that we are going to face temptation. But it also says that we have victory in Jesus Christ. But I think those are six very important principles that we can use in our lives to give us the grace to be able to overcome. Let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you and praise you so, so much, dear Lord God, for the victory that we do have in Jesus Christ. And Father, give us the grace, dear Lord, to understand as believers we are soldiers of the cross. And you've called us, Lord, to flee away from all youthful desires, dear Father, to flee away from sin and to pursue righteousness and holiness and godliness and purity and things that please you, Father. Give us the grace as believers tonight to leave this church saying, Lord, that's the way I want to live my life this week. As I step out into a brand new week, give me the grace to live my life in obedience to Christ. Give me the grace to live my life in obedience to your word. And Father, if there's an area of my life that I know there's a weakness, Lord, give me the grace to stay away from that. Give me the grace to cut it out of my life. Father, I pray for anyone in this room right now who might be struggling with a particular sin in their lives. Lord, give them the grace to live in obedience to you. Only you can do this, Father. We need your grace day by day. And so strengthen us, help us, we pray for Jesus' sake.